Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Beautiful day in the city of Chicago. We get set for Bears and Giants on the lakefront. And later this hour, I want to take your calls on if you're a season ticket holder, if you're someone who goes out of their way to go to Bears games. Thousands flock to the lakefront to tailgate and to be a part. And this is how family traditions have been made, and what you're going to do to replicate it or do something different. Or are you just treating it like a road game? Are you just going to stay at home and watch the game on the couch and that's good enough for you? We'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. We've got an injury report to get after. The Sox currently lead Minnesota. It's 4-3 right now. In the top of the eighth, they have rallied back from a 3-2 deficit with a couple of runs in the seventh inning. Cubs back in action against the Indians tonight at Wrigley Field. But let's talk Bears. Let's talk Allen Robinson and his contract. Right before our new local morning show, you hear Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin every morning, 5 to 7 a.m. Keyshawn Johnson, of course, the former number 1 overall pick in the NFL draft when he was selected by the Jets. He's also a former Super Bowl champion, and he joins Waddle and Sylvie on the Corona Hotline right now. Hey, Keyshawn.
What's happening?
Well, we got a lot of drama going on, and we thought that you would be a great guy to talk to, especially when it comes to Allen Robinson and what the Bears are currently going through with him wanting some money, him wanting some respect. Before we go deep there, just give us, as a former wide receiver, give us what you think when you see Allen Robinson on Sunday.
Well, I think he's one of the better receivers in the league. I think he's underappreciated. He's undervalued. There's something to be said for a guy who comes to play, who shows up, who's productive. A lot of times, you know, because the narrative is set by the media, for the most part, about what a player is and who a player is, sometimes he gets lost in an organization because they start really paying attention to those sort of things that really shouldn't even really matter, because you should know what type of player you have. You know, his numbers speak for itself since he's been there in Chicago, and I've always said when you pair a guy with a good quarterback, imagine what one can do. Right. I look at my own career for that matter. You know, if I played my entire career with a Hall of Fame quarterback, where would I be? And so you look at those situations. If I played with a Tom Brady my whole career, if I played with a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, my entire career, Peyton Manning, my entire career, given the fact that I played with the type of receivers, quarterbacks that I played with and still was able to be productive, I look at Allen as well. He played with Blake Bortles. Now he has Mitch Trubisky and potentially Nick Foles, but he's able to still be productive. I look at DeAndre Hopkins, some of the garbage that he played with in Houston prior to Deshaun Watson, and look at his production and what he was able to still do. That's the value to me.
Key, how frustrating does it become for a player like Allen, and you just described your own personal experience as well, when it comes to that point where you're trying to negotiate for a contract extension, and you look at Keenan Allen making $20 million a year, or Amari Cooper who gets a $20 million a year contract? I would suggest that Allen Robinson can do what they can do, but he doesn't have the same situation. How difficult does that become from a negotiation standpoint?
Well, but if you look at his numbers are on par with theirs.
Yeah.
So he is essentially doing the same thing, correct? I mean, if this is a numbers game, it is frustrating when you see guys make more money than you. But right now he's under contract at $13.5 million. So we're talking about not 2020, but we're talking about an extension.
Right.
If they want to get an extension done and keep him around long term, then that's a great option. They know they got to get over, up and over that $20 million mark. You can't come to me, if I'm Allen Robinson, and tell me, oh, we're willing to pay you $15 million. And you know what, man, never mind. Why don't you trade me so you can get some value for me since you don't value me, the New England Patriots will value me, the San Francisco 49ers will value me, the New York Jets, the Giants, they'll value me. So let me go so I can get my money since you won't pay me my money.
Key, how difficult is it also as a receiver like Allen to go into the huddle and consistently see a guy who has not been as accurate or as efficient at the quarterback position? How difficult is it to bite your tongue playing and play out inside that huddle?
From my experience, you just play and you do the best you can with what you are dealt with. You know, I didn't have, like I said, Vinny Testaverde was my best quarterback, him and Brad Johnson. Outside of those two, in an 11-year career, I didn't start a season with back-to-back quarterbacks. I always had a new quarterback every single year. For 11 years in my NFL career, I had a new quarterback every year. And so you do what you can with that. And Allen has to be able to do that and produce and show the other teams in the NFL, because I've always said, you're not playing for the Chicago Bears, you're playing for 31 other teams as well. And you do your job, and it'll happen for you. Hopefully the Bears will get smart and realize that if they're really trying to develop Mitch Trubisky, they need to keep a young guy like him around to be able to make that happen and be able to develop it. And if not, then again, trading. What you want to hold on to something that you don't really value for?
Keyshawn Johnson joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So then when we go into the quarterback situation, Key, for three quarters, Mitch Trubisky looked like a lot of people who are not fans of his was expected to look, and that wasn't good. And then all of a sudden the light went on, and he had a great fourth quarter. The Lions actually helped him in a lot of aspects. So how long should his leash be going forward?
So, in other words, for those first three quarters, he looked like Mitch Trubisky. Then yes. The last two, he looked like something else. I got it.
Yes.
I think you continue to just see where it's at. Look, man, I know they got Nick Foles and they paid Nick Foles. Nick Foles ain't the answer. Nick Foles not the answer. He's just not. And he's a stopgap guy. He's not a long-term solution. If you want to see Mitch Trubisky develop, help him develop. Help him as a quarterback expert, so-called guru, and Matt Nagy, offensive coordinator, mine. Help him develop. Make him a better quarterback. Don't give up until it's time to give up. 1-0, why would you even be thinking about anything other than that? 2 years ago, he helped you make the playoffs. If it wasn't for a few botched field goal attempts, you might be advancing into the second round. So be mindful of those sort of things and see where it goes here in the next several months before you start making any decisions on long-term solutions and situations.
So you're not going quarter to quarter, game to game. If he struggles in game two, you're not looking to go to Nick. You're sticking with Trubisky based on what you just said.
Yeah, because if you go to Nick, you can't go back to Mitch. At that point, Mitch's brain is scrambled eggs. He's done. You can't – once you yank him, you've now showed him that you don't have any confidence in him.
But if his brain could be scrambled over that, doesn't that show you that he's not the solution anyway?
Quarterbacks are very fragile. They're very sensitive, all of them. Now, let me ask you, how long have you been watching football?
I'm 49, so 45 years.
Man, 44 you're old.
Years.
You've been, and how long you think you've been really understanding football?
She still doesn't.
2 years, yeah, yeah, maybe.
I wouldn't even go okay. 2 years.
Yeah, and look, Key, well, I've never seen.
Have you ever seen a quarterback get yanked, benched, and come back and be great? Almost never.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the problem. We've never had one here. This has been the game, Key, for us in Chicago. So I used
y'all
to cover
had
the...
one. Y'all had one. Y'all had Rex Grossman.
Oh, come on now.
y'all had Cordell Stewart. Uh oh.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Now you're singing our song exactly. Well, okay, well, let's get beyond Chicago then. What did you see in week one that did make you feel like, wow, that's pretty cool, or that's something that I didn't expect, or wow, that was great?
Well, I look at Aaron Rodgers. I look at what he did to the Minnesota Vikings secondary, which is a young secondary, but he really got after them when everybody complained about them taking Jordan Love instead of a wide receiver. I look at what Phillip Rivers did in Indianapolis, which was Phillip Rivers from L.A., throwing picks. So you say, well, gosh, I thought maybe he's just old. You know, so you look at certain things. And then you look at Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson putting on MVP-type performances. You look at Cam Newton up in New England doing things that people thought he wasn't going to be able to do, which is gel with the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and lead them to a victory.
How long can Cam last in a system like that? Can he carry the ball 15 times a game like that, or they're going to have to switch some things up week to week?
It's always switched up week to week. There's this narrative that people are trying to set as if New England's going to run the ball with Cam every week 15 times. That is what the Miami Dolphins defense dictated that New England's offense can do to them. So New England offense did what they would always do, game plan, and get the most out of what that game plan is, which was for Cam to run the ball 15 times and not even really get touched.
Key, what do you expect to see from the Giants for the Bears this week? We saw them on Monday night. There was, you know, they didn't get the run game going like they want to. Do you think we're going to see the heavy dose of getting Saquon Barkley trying to get going against our Bears?
I think so. I think that the goal is to get Saquon going. I think that will be the goal. The offensive line has to hold up. They didn't hold up against a pretty stout defensive line in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's defense is one of the better ones in the league. But you want to get Saquon going. You want to keep the turnovers down from Danny Dimes, as they like to call him. And see what that is. See what type of team that is.
Hey, and finally, tonight it's the Bengals and the Browns. What is your take on the Browns, the situation that they find themselves in?
They're 0-1. They can't afford to go 0-2. If they go 0-2, all hell's going to break loose in the Cleveland area and the national radio and talk shows and pundits and the sports shows on TV are going to go, oh, God, get rid of Baker Mayfield. OBJ's a problem. They're going to create their own narrative. So what they got to do is block out the outside noise, go and perform, make us forget about what happened in Baltimore, be a little cleaner at things, smoother at things. Even if you lose the game, look like a real football team. Yeah.
Keyshawn, always appreciate it. Thanks for your help today.
Thank you, Keyshawn.
Always, man. Always.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Celebrating the return of sports to Chicago every day. We're highlighting one of the best sports bars in the Chicagoland area. Today we salute the Q Bar Group with locations in Darien, Downers Grove, and Lamont. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Sam Adams and Q Bar Group helping you celebrate the return of sports.
We've got the Bears injury report for this Thursday.
Ooh.
Basically the same as yesterday, except the addition of Akeem Hicks, who did not practice but because of an illness.
Okay.
So it's Ted Ginn and Jimmy Graham getting another Veterans Day. So or they actually practiced today. So they the reason they're on the report is because they did not practice today. So they keep them on there, and they were fully participating today.
Okay. Well,
Robert Quinn remains limited.
Okay.
And Khalil Mack remains limited.
All right. And that's it?
That's the injury
report. All right. Today's injury report is brought to you by Rush University Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at ChooseRush.org. That's a very, I think, is a very good medical report, to be honest with you.
We just need to see Quinn. I hope all is well with Quinn. I don't know if it's limited only to not play again or if he's trending to play and how this happened and why and everything like that.
Yeah, I need to see Quinn on the field as well.
I was trying to think of what Keyshawn said regarding guys who have come back from being benched.
Yeah, I was trying to think at the same time if there's an example of that.
Well, I wish I had the answer when we were talking to him, but I'm like Costanza. I always have the good response a few minutes later. Usually, if you're good, you're not getting benched.
Good
okay,
point.
So
yes.
Let's start there. So, like, I mean, it's not like Tom Brady. You know, he started as a backup, but then became a starter. Like, those guys aren't usually being benched. But, like,
right.
Kurt Warner, throughout his career, Kurt Warner was benched in St. Louis.
He went to New York.
He was benched in New York. And then, he continued his Hall of Fame career in Arizona. So, if you're good, you can come back. That's my counter, like... I don't think you ever manage Mitch because you think you're going to lose him.
That's what
reason you're going to lose him is because he's not good.
Right. That was my rationale when the talk leading into the regular season, the last 10 days of camp, was, well, maybe the best thing. I think Brian Billick was the one that joined, I think, Cap and Jay Hood and said it's easier to bring Nick Foles off the bench because if you don't start Mitch, you may lose him. And my response was a very visceral response. It was like, listen, if you're worried about the psyche of your backup quarterback, get a different backup quarterback. So make the decision that's best and don't worry about these guys are professionals. If you get benched for not playing well, you know what? Go back to work, and if you get an opportunity to come in again, make amends for it.
I heard Yurko thinks he's going to get 6 games. Yurko thinks Mitch
regardless
is,
of how
regardless,
he plays. Yes. I don't agree with that.
That's what I know, and they referenced you because Carmen referenced saying that you thought that they were close because he asked Yurko, "Do you think Nagy was close at all?" I think they were talking about this during crosstalk.
Yeah,
and they all thought that Nagy wasn't close at all. They thought that he just continued to ride with Mitch, and they referenced you thinking that maybe he had thought through that situation.
He may have, but again, you only get one shot at each of these games. And you don't know when the NFL season's going to pause. Hopefully it won't. You can't afford to throw one away if you think somebody else gives you a better opportunity. So you think the leash, or Yurko thinks the leash is going to be 6 games? So let's say he plays Sunday against the Giants all 4 quarters the way he played in the first 3 quarters against the Lions. You think he's going to get the ball again on the next Sunday in Atlanta?
That would be 7 of 8 bad quarters. Like, I think, and I mentioned this with Gene Greco yesterday, I believe he certainly gets the entire game even if he looks bad.
This week, yes. I think he earned that with his fourth quarter.
Yes, because he has shown you that he could get the rig back on the road. Why would you take that away from him when that's exactly what he did in game one? Like, a caller called in earlier saying, well, if he has a bad half, they pull it. They pull him. I think you're still, they're 1-0, and it paid off by sticking with him in game one. So I think what he's shown you now, that you stick with him for at least these 4 quarters.
I still feel strongly, though, that you play that way, and not just the offense, but the defense as well. You play that way against 29 other teams and you lose. Like the Lions, down 3 corners, down their best linebacker, you know, that played into, and Mitch playing exceptionally well. And I thought Matt, as I told you yesterday, had an exceptional day as well, had a very good day. You do that against a better team, you get down, and you're not coming back. You're not going to beat them. I gave you 3 examples from last year, the Saints, the second Packers game, and the Eagles game, where we saw exactly that, but those teams are better, and they were able to actually not let you out of the hole that you dug completely.
Maybe not 29 teams. I mean, the Redskins came back against Philly from 17-0. You know, like...
Okay, and how about conservatively 25 teams you play
like
against,
Browns,
you're not getting back?
The Jaguars, maybe even the Giants. Maybe even the Giants are that team. Maybe the Giants afford you the opportunity to start off slowly again.
That's fine. What are you going to win over the course of a season playing the way that they did?
No. I'm not trying to argue for Mitch. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying
that it's maybe a little bit over...
I don't know why there would be a set amount of time. I just don't.
No, like, it's a feel.
I think it's the feel of the coach. I think you saw, as I said yesterday, you saw an offense that was designed to help Mitch. A lot of running game, a lot of 2 and 3 tight end sets, a lot of under center. The passes were actually off run action for the majority of the time. I thought it was a fantastic plan by the coach to finally... After watching the 2019 season, where we are all critical of Matt not getting the most out of Mitch, I thought he did a good job of trying to play to his strengths. Trust me, if Nick Foles comes in, that offense looks entirely different. Nick Foles will run RPOs out of the shotgun. It'll look entirely different. So the coach has actually put this offense in place for this kid. So I get if you thought that maybe with that in mind, the benefit of knowing that you'd get the entire game. I don't think he's going to have a lightning quick trigger. But I don't think that you're getting a set number of games. If you go out there and play an entire four quarters the way he played the first three quarters, I would not anticipate seeing him under center against the Falcons.
332-3776 if you want to weigh in. I also want to talk to Bears fans. We have a great group of season ticket holders who listen to the show, Bears fans who go to the games. We've always done it whenever we broadcast these openers from Benny's Beverage Depot in Lincoln Park. We always take the calls for those who tailgate and everything. Like this is a family tradition. People have had their tickets in their family from Wrigley Field to Soldier Field, from generation to generation. And this is like where some of the best memories with families have been made. Like, what are you going to do now that you can't go to games? Maybe for the whole year. We talked earlier, like, if they do let you go to games like 10,000 later in the year, will you go? But I want to hear from, because we're going to talk to a fan coming up at 4:30 who has a 39-year streak of not missing a single home game. And he's been to a lot of the road games, too. Like, this guy goes to every game. He's had season tickets since, like, the 80s, since the early 80s. So what are you going to do? Are you tailgating except in your driveway? Are you having people over, and are you going to make it like a stadium atmosphere except outside and hanging TV outside? We'd love to hear some of your stories at 312-332-3776. But back to your Mitch thing. I want Mitch Trubisky, and we all do. I mean, this is obvious, but look, you scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Come out with the scripted plays that you've worked on all week this week.
Yeah.
Go down the field and score and put the doubt away. Like, none of this should be a factor. Take the momentum from the win against Detroit. You work on those first 15 plays all week. You design those all week after watching what the Giants did on Monday night. Go out, go down the field, and put it out of every Bears fan mind that you're going to have to pull Trubisky because he just took the Bears on a 9-play, 80-yard drive to score a touchdown.
I'm with you. Build on what you created in the final 15 minutes of that game. No question. I think you're going to see a different look from the Giants. I think the Giants, remember the Giants gave him some trouble last year. I don't think it was. The Bears ultimately won that game, but I don't believe that he had a great day against the Giants. I mean, listen, the game plan is pretty simple, unless your name is Matt Patricia. You're going to probably see a lot of zone. If you do see some underneath man, you're going to see safeties on top. You're going to make Mitch go through progressions and not let him get out on the edge and let him have one read throws. So just be prepared for anything. But I'm with you. I think that, you know, the confidence that hopefully was gained from how he played in the final 15 minutes will show up in the first half of Sunday's game.
As a Bears fan, I don't want to watch every single game with the thought that, hey, Mitch could be pulled at any moment. Like, put it out of the mind early. Like, let's watch a football game.
Make some progress.
Yes, and not make it a factor in the game. Go down and be steady again. Like, you always say be average. Be steady. Hit the throws that are open. You know,
build some momentum going three and out your first drive and then going 0-for-7 in your first third down attempts. That doesn't create any momentum.
Yeah.
You got to make progress
like you've done. So 312-332-3776. If you want to talk some Bears here and if you want to talk about what you're going to do here as a Bears season ticket holder. And I also want to talk some White Sox as this game is heading down to the wire against the Twins. About how you feel about this White
Sox
team.
This is a big game. Big game. Like, this is the difference between having a three-game lead in your division and a one-game lead in your division.
Right. This is the two-game swing.
Right.
You know, they're all worth two, but then they all, you know, you can make that up quickly the very next day. But here to end the series, it makes all the difference in the world for going the rest of the way.
Yes.
So 312-332-3776. That's the phone number. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
And now Eloy Jimenez rips one down the left field line. The Sox are going to take the lead. Gilmer Sanchez scores. Eloy's got a surprise for Sergio Romo, and it's 4-3. Makes the catch. And in a year when so many of us have had to be apart, we all will journey together into October with the White Sox. For the first time in 12 years, the Sox are going to the playoffs.
Think about that. Yeah. With all these games left, this young White Sox team, they've already clinched a playoff spot.
33-17, right? Isn't that what they are? 33-17?
It is incredible. And what they've done, they took 3 out of 4 from the Twins. Like you mentioned, it was a huge swing game.
Yeah.
They would have lost. They would have been only a game up on the Twins. They're now 3 games up on the Twins to possibly win the division. And I want to hear from you at 312-332-3776. The highlights courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. The White Sox win 4-3 today.
How about these numbers, okay? This is the box score today for the Cubs, okay? Tim Anderson is hitting.
For
the White Sox. Tim Anderson, who led off, didn't have a hit today, but he's hitting .365 on the year. I got Sanchez hitting .375, obviously in a limited capacity. McCann's hitting .317. Abreu's hitting .332. Jimenez is hitting .301. Engel is hitting .306. And Madrigal's hitting .324. I mean, the offense from everywhere has delivered.
Yes. Did you mention Eloy? What's Eloy hitting now?
Eloy is hitting .301 with an on base of .342.
Yeah. Yeah. And he delivered with that highlight that you heard.
I mean, it's just. And you're doing all this in Encarnacion, who was a nice pickup, you know, with playoff experience, brings veteran leadership and all kinds of other things. He had a home run today. He's hitting only .172 on the year. I mean, they've been an incredible story. They're fun to watch, and they play like they're expecting to win every time out.
Like they could go and they can mash you 8-1. Or they can play a game like they played today where Eloy struck out the first 3 times today. And then he came up with that big double down the left field line. And then they won 4-3 and they used some pitching and bullpen help. And they solidified the win against the Twins and came from behind. So 312-332-3776. I don't care if it's 60 games. I mean, we all knew it was 60 games going in. We said, look, there could be some 2015 Cubs vibe to this team.
Yeah.
But to do what they have done, and especially how dominant they've been winning games lately, and you say, okay, well, they beat the Kansas City and they beat Detroit and Pittsburgh recently. But then you go out after losing 2 out of 3 to Minnesota in Minnesota, and you beat them 3 out of 4 in your own home park. You know, you've wondered, well, after their first two, with Giolito and with Keuchel, who do you have? And Cease has been better, and now Dane Dunning has come out of there.
Lopez gave you 5 1/3 today. He had 3 solo home runs he gave up, but those were the 3 earned runs he gave. 6 strikeouts, one walk. I mean, from a guy who is, you know, at this point, you're not expecting a ton from. Listen, if he keeps you in a game for 5 1/3, 3 innings, or 3 runs given up, you expect with this offense that you're going to be okay. Like, they don't need to be dynamic and unhittable as a staff right now.
So where's the goal here, guys? 312-332-3776. They've clinched the playoffs. We knew they were going to do it. It was a 100% chance now, like at least in the last few days. But think about how you felt about this team back in March or February, and think about what they've accomplished here. And Luis Robert, even though he's going through a little bit of a slump here, you know, he's lived up to it. And Eloy continues to build on his rookie year. Abreu came back and is having an MVP-type year. And a lot of people said, hey, Tim Anderson, prove what you did last year with the batting title. And Waddle just mentioned he's batting .360-something. Yeah.
The Dodgers were the first team to clinch a spot, right?
Yes, yes.
Am I right to say that the Sox are the second team?
Well, look at the run differential, Waddle, in the standings. Go through that. You just gave
plus
me
plus 80.
And isn't that next to the Dodgers?
Dodgers are 10 plus 102. The Padres are plus 79. But the White Sox plus 80 is second only behind the Dodgers.
Yes, and again, I am not putting, why put a ceiling on this year's team? I mean, do you put them as the favorite? No, the Dodgers are really good, but they can win. And they can win big with the pitching that they have now. It's no guarantee, but I certainly feel better about them now in their starting pitching than before the season began.
Yeah, I mean, they don't blink either. I mean, you would think that the Twins have an edge just because they've been there and done that, and this White Sox team just doesn't bother with it.
And it's not the NL Central. The NL Central, everybody has sort of come back to the Cardinals and the Reds and Milwaukee. None of them are having great years. Twins are having a good year.
Yeah, the Twins are 30. They're 10 over 500. The Twins are 31 and 21.
Before the Indians' current losing streak, they were having a really good year.
They're 26 and 23 at this point.
So, you know, what have they lost? Like 8 in a row? Is that what it is?
The Indians have lost 8 in a row.
So,
it's been an exciting, I mean, listen, this is one of those games too. They could have let the moment be too big for them because they don't have the experience, because the Twins were up 3-2 in this game. Twins have the postseason experience. Twins are the defending champs of the division. It could have been an environment that got a little too big for this White Sox team. And what did they do? They responded.
Yes, absolutely. Again, I put this up there with a lot of the great stories in Chicago sports that we've experienced lately. What the White Sox have accomplished this year is on par with what the Bears did in 2018 in the regular season. Coming out of nowhere, winning the division, is on par of what the Cubs did in 2015 when they went from a 60-some win team to surprising everyone, winning the wild card then. They beat the Cardinals in the first round, and they went to the NLCS. Like that Bulls team of 2010-2011, where LeBron and Wade and Bosh went to Miami, but who had the best record in the NBA that year? I think it was the Bulls, right? They won the East. I know that. And they took the Heat into the Eastern Conference Finals. This has been one of the true fun, unexpected years in the city of Chicago sports in recent memory.
Look, they've got a top-of-the-rotation guy in Giolito that you can count on. I think Keuchel has been fantastic this year. I mean, you have what you've expected from him. He's probably given you more, hasn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I've always rated him pretty high.
Yeah,
you're
but
about Keuchel?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, we were both on board that thought they should have gotten Keuchel
picked him up last year.
Yes. And Mellor told us, no, his best days are behind. He doesn't strike a lot of guys out. I was a pro Keuchel guy.
And this lineup, every day, they mash. I mean, there's no fear in them either. They play with a swagger. They play with a confidence. Like I said, their eyes never get too big, and they never seem to be overwhelmed.
Waddle, help me with the calls. I've lost my call screener here at home.
John's in Rolling Meadows. He'd like to speak.
John. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, right now, if the playoffs started today, we'd have the Indians. They give us a lot of trouble, okay? I mean, they've got a veteran ball club. They've got solid pitching. They come up with hits when they need it. What kind of mood are the Twins going to be in now when they go over to Wrigley and start their series with the Cubs tomorrow? That's what the Cubs have to worry about now. You know, I mean, Minnesota's going to be in the playoffs. They still have a shot at the division. They lost 3 out of 4 to us. What kind of swagger are they going to have going into Wrigley now, knowing that if they lose this weekend series and we come out big this weekend and get the job done, you know, we're that much closer to the division. You know, this is a must-win series against the Cubs now for the Twins coming up, so the big series.
Yeah, look, you get that home field advantage for the first three games where you play all games at home. And then it's like you don't get the benefits that you used to get in a non-pandemic year where you would get to host every series for 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 7. But I'm not putting any sort of ceiling on this year with baseball. This is, you know, Waddle, the one thing about this postseason, this will be the toughest postseason to win because home field advantage is not what it used to be. And I believe
there's an extra.
This is the most games you've ever had to win a World Series, isn't it?
I would think so, yes. No doubt.
Because you're replacing the wild card round, which a lot of people would get with a bye anyway, with a three-game series.
Do you want to take Matt's call here before we go to break, guys?
Sure.
Matt's in Lake Zurich. Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen, I love the spirit. I love the enthusiasm, Sylvie and Waddle. This is a joyous moment in Chicago for Sox fans, for sports fans. I mean, given what's going on, given the United States and all the bad news you read out there, it's just been a smile on my face to watch this team all year. And they've really brought a lot of joy to me and to you as ESPN. We're going to have baseball in October.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's crazy.
It's pretty, pretty cool. And I think this is what the city needs. We need the South Side and the North Side to cheer on their teams. And the back of my mind, everybody's hoping their fingers we have a Cubs-Sox World Series, but those are long odds. We all know it. But it's joyous, and I'm glad to hear the enthusiasm coming from you because I'm smiling from ear to ear. It's a beautiful day, and the Sox are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's a fun team to watch.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to be damn good. It's another thing to be damn good and damn entertaining as well.
There's not even a Cubs fan could say that this team isn't fun to watch.
Yeah.
Anybody who's watched this White Sox team do what they've done this year, Giolito throwing a no-hitter, the Sox going from, some expectations to now having the spot in the division with a three-game lead.
Tim Anderson again at the top of the list, baseball in terms of an average.
Yeah, it's crazy. 3-3-2, 3-7-7-6. The Sox have clinched a spot in the playoffs. That's for certain. They can win the division. Both teams, as the caller mentioned, first place, Baseball City USA. I got another comp for you. All right, went through some teams in Chicago sports history. We always go baseball. I've got another Chicago team from years ago that reminds me of this Sox team. And I want to hear from you regarding the White Sox or the Bears, whatever is on your mind. Guys, you know what I love? I love my RAV4. I love my local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. The official vehicle that Javi Baez drives, too. He swags when he goes from first to home. He goes home in a Toyota. Today's the day to score as well. You could score a great deal with the Camry, with the Corolla, with the RAV4 like me, the Highlander, the Tundra, and more. Today means that today's the day to take a ride in your thrilling new Camry. Today's the day to scale new heights in your powerful new RAV4. Or maybe today's the day to turn heads with your stylish Corolla. Today's the day to feel invincible gripping the wheel of your rugged new 4Runner. Absolutely awesome. Today's the perfect day to tackle a new outdoor project with a brand new Tundra. Think about all the possibility. Today might even be the day to go as far as the road will take you with the epic range of your new Highlander Hybrid. The family's going to love that. Today's the day to save on all your favorites like the Camry, the Corolla, the RAV4, the Highlander, the Tundra, and much, much more. But hurry, this offer ends soon. So do what I did. Head to your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. Participating dealers only. Event ends November 2nd.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
The White Sox are in the playoffs. They beat the Twins 4-3. They take 3 out of 4 on the South Side.
Big.
They have a 3-game lead in the division now. There will be October baseball for the White Sox. 312-332-3776. You know what else, what other team this reminds me of?
What's that?
The 08-09 Blackhawks. I remember sitting in Hawthorne for one of our anniversaries in April, and we took calls on what it was like for Hawks fans to be back at a postseason game once again. With that young core, with Kane and Taves and Sharp and Seabrook and Keith. And that year, they went to the Western Conference Final.
Did they play Vancouver?
Early, right?
Yes. I remember being at a game for that, too.
Right. We went together for that game.
Yeah.
Their very first postseason game when they returned to the United Center, I believe they won in overtime. 12 seconds in, Marty Havlat scored the
Marty!
Game winner. Marty! And that was a team that still, you could just see everything that they had hoped for blossom in front of your eyes. They didn't win it all, but they went far, and it set up the championship the following year. That's what this White Sox team reminds me a lot of.
Again, you can harken back to the 15 Cubs, too. I think they're all in, it feels all kind of the same.
Jeff and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I haven't been this excited to watch the Sox again, as hot as they've been this year, as far as they were in 2005. 2005, I remember listening to every game on the radio, making sure I was watching every game. Even though that was my senior year at high school, you know, graduating out during the spring, I was still trying to listen to every game, even in class. But these guys, as hot as their bats have been and everything else, I just see a lot of the old five White Sox in these guys.
I think there's
what do you guys think?
Well, Jeff, I liked that 05 White Sox team. They had a really good start to 06, and then they tailed off. I just think that this core can be together for a lot longer, and this could be, you know, they went in 05, then they didn't go again until 08, and then it's been since 08. I think this could be one of these sustained runs where they're at least contending for the playoffs for the next 5 years, sort of like a Cubs run.
If I looked at this right, I think they've won 23 of their last 28 games. They're 23-5, I think, in their last 28, if I'm not mistaken.
It's pretty incredible.
And they're probably, what, middle of the pack in terms of payroll?
Yeah, they could still add if they want to.
Yeah.
Now they can make the pandemic financial
ramifications. Well, the good thing is the guys that they currently have,
they're all cost
controlled. They're all cost controlled.
And signed too, extended. They extended it long.
Tim Anderson is signed for several more years.
Steve in Willowbrook, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Stevie?
Hello, gentlemen. Great to hear your voice. Hey, you're the reason why I'm smiling, even though I'm dealing with the Chicago traffic.
Thank you. We appreciate you, Steve.
Huge Sox fan. Can't be more excited. These guys, again, you're saying they're playing with swagger. I agree. You know, I can't turn the TV off right now because these guys are 7th, 8th, 9th inning, they're still pulling it out, which is amazing. The old days, you know, for the last 10 years, they get down, pretty much just turn the TV off. My only question or concern would be is, so far we're beating up the Central Division and a couple guys from the National League. You know, we haven't seen the Yankees, we haven't seen the Astros. Do you think these guys could be intimidated? You come across some of these veteran teams or these teams with a name that all of a sudden you get to the playoffs and it's a whole different mindset.
I don't know. I mean, like, I can't guarantee you the answer to that is no, that they won't be overwhelmed. All I can tell you is by watching them play, like I said earlier, their eyes don't get too big. They don't blink. They do not seem to be affected. Like, they have won a lot of these games late in games today. I think it was a microcosm of what we've seen. They were down 3-2. It's a really important game. It ain't a must win, but it's the difference between having a one game lead in the division or a three-game lead in the division. And what did they do? They rallied and came back. They got great relief pitching, and they got a key hit when they needed it.
All right, this 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie has been brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. What's driving the housing market? Super low interest rates? Find out right now. You could get pre-approved today in just 5 minutes at the Home Loan Expert. .com. All right, and also we're back in 2 short minutes taking your White Sox calls. What are you going to do instead of going to Bears games? Are you going to try and replicate that? All of your fans' phone calls. We're back in 2 short minutes thanks to our friends at Legal Rideshare.